Welcome to the podcast on hemp.com. This is the Hemp Podcast. This is your host, Josh Davis. Today's interview is with a very special guy down in Florida. His name is John Shaw. And he's a computer technician and the founder of John Shaw Computers Incorporated. He started that in 2008 out of Tallahassee, Florida. But the question is, why is he on the show? Well, most recently he ran for the Florida State Senate as a constitutional Republican in District 6. And as you probably guessed by now, he is strongly in favor of bringing a new cash crop to the state, and that crop is hemp. John, welcome to the show.
Josh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I guess my first question is, well, we'll start in the beginning. What did you decide to do first? Did you learn about hemp first, or did you decide to run and then subsequently learn about it?
It really started with me deciding to run, and I didn't know what I was going to run for, but I inevitably chose, and this is back in 07 when I first decided, I chose to run for the House of Representatives at the time because it was the largest thing I could run for at my age. I wanted to get my message out to as many people as possible. I didn't really want to climb any sort of political ladder, and so the platform at that time was I wanted to basically legalize all drugs and tax them simply because I didn't feel, and I still don't feel, as though prohibition is the answer to drug abuse.
But you wanted to legalize all drugs as a Republican?
No, I was an independent at this time, and I really am an independent at heart.
Okay.
But we'll get into later why I chose to run as a Republican this time around.
Okay.
But and needless to say, you know, people were quite afraid of that platform, and it's completely understandable. I just wanted to show people that I was willing to talk about things that are very touchy, and I wanted to be honest about it. But I ended up inevitably reforming that platform just down to reforming marijuana laws, and that was much more acceptable. I got much better response from that, although it was still a little bit controversial. And it actually wasn't until I started doing that, this was more towards the end of the election of that time, that's when I really started learning about hemp. Because prior to that, I knew hemp was different than marijuana. I just didn't really know much about it. But from doing all the research on why marijuana was illegal in the first place, all that, I was just astounded at how many great things hemp could do, and it's really the one that started this whole drug war, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, after I lost that election, I got about 3,000 votes, which actually wasn't bad. Being in the Bible Belt as an independent 23-year-old running on marijuana reform, we were very happy with that.
Yeah. But do you know where most of those votes came from? Could you? See if they were younger kids or
it was a mix. It was a mix. I got some great feedback from people. It was a mix of people. Some were friends, family, and other people just would come up to me and say, "Hey, I want to let you know I voted for you. I like what you're doing." People like that it was alternative. I think people are tired of the same political campaigns over and over again. They may not have thought that that I had all the answers, but they at least liked that I was presenting some sort of viable solution towards at least economic stability.
Sure.
And they just appreciated the fact that I was honest too, which is a rarity in politics these days.
Yes.
So, but aside from that, I took 2009, the next year, to kind of think about what I was going to do next, and that's when I decided to drop marijuana reform entirely as well and just concentrate on industrial hemp reform. And the main reason I decided to do that was because I haven't heard a single argument against hemp. And frankly, as far as I'm concerned, there is none. No one can come up with anything that's bad about it, and there's absolutely no reason to keep it illegal.
Hang on. What are you talking about?
Sure.
If you're growing your hemp down there, mm-hmm. I can come over and I can plant my marijuana right in your hemp field.
Well, from what I understand, it's actually difficult for marijuana and hemp to grow in the same area together. I'm not an expert on plants by any means, but the research I've done, it's just not a I really doubt, first of all, that you would get very far, because that's my field, and I would probably spot you.
Exactly.
But,
well, and the truth, and we've talked about this on the show before, is that, you know, to get a good marijuana plant, you need a non-fertilized female plant. And to get good hemp, you rely on cross-pollinization of the male plant and the female plant.
There you go.
And then the hemp plant is a much more powerful plant. So as soon as you fertilize that marijuana plant, that THC level drops, and it's pretty much useless.
Absolutely. And I almost instantly recognized when I read that it was simply another scare tactic from the DEA or whatever, because we have this zero tolerance policy where we can import hemp products from other nations as long as they don't contain over X amount of THC in them. Well, by default, hemp cannot contain more than that amount. So it's simply just another way of them trying to make a reason for hemp to remain illegal here.
Right. And in fact, on the DEA's books, the DEA, and I don't think even the government, recognizes the word hemp. They recognize the word marijuana, but they don't recognize the word hemp. It doesn't really even exist in their on their records.
I don't doubt it. There's so many people who just don't understand. I remember during this last campaign, I had an agricultural interview with a bunch of real high priority agricultural companies here in Florida. There was about 10 of them. We were in a semicircle in a room. They just interviewed me, and I basically presented them this platform. And at the end, they asked me if I had any questions for them. I said, "Sure. Have any of you guys ever considered lobbying on hemp's behalf for a cash crop, because it's right up their alley?" They all looked at each other and they looked back at me, and a guy said, "John, we'd never even heard of hemp." It's amazing. These are people who are in the agriculture industry, and they thought hemp was marijuana.
And whose grandparents, if they were if they were in the agriculture industry, probably knew about it very well.
Absolutely. Yep. It was really one of the best cash crops ever in America, and it's still a major cash crop in all these other industrialized nations, and yet we're the only one that decides not to do it.
Well, and in terms of the technology nowadays, before we needed that hemp, when it was illegal, the government made it legal again during World War II because we needed the fiber.
Right.
But nowadays we can turn the hemp into plastics. We can turn it into an amazing thermodynamic or concrete that has amazing thermodynamic properties. There's a whole other world that's opened up to this based on modern technology and this ancient plant.
Yeah, it's really amazing too. I can never understand how they briefly legalized it during World War II and then re-illegalized it afterwards. I'm trying to imagine who was behind all that and the amount of ignorance that must have gone into it. It's just astounding.
Well, do you want to talk about that at all in terms of why it became illegal?
Oh, sure, yeah. That's probably the most important thing. It's usually what I open up my speeches with, because people have to really understand what this is about, why it was illegal in the first place, before they can understand why it needs to become legal. Basically, back in the 1920s and 30s, a company called DuPont became the largest manufacturer of plastics and nylons in America. Mm-hmm. And their plastics were all based from petroleum. And at this time, DuPont recognized that the number one competitor to petroleum-based plastics was hemp. And
wow.
So what they did was they basically got in the pockets of politicians, a guy named William Randolph Hearst, who was a big media tycoon, and nobody really knew any better, especially the politicians. And they, long story short, illegalized the entire cannabis family, hemp included, by basically starting this yellow journalism campaign against marijuana, which was a cousin to hemp.
Right.
And they, reefer madness, all that. And so they threw about the term hemp and marijuana back and forth in order to confuse people. And so, they banned the whole family and they banned their competition. And they're currently the second largest chemical company in the world today. All of the plastics, practically all the plastics you see in the United States are from DuPont. They're petroleum-based, and it's a primary reason why we have to get off petroleum.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is hemp. Hemp makes a wonderful biofuel. It's just there's practically nothing this plant can't do.
It's pretty amazing.
It is.
Pretty amazing. And so what about today? I mean, is it illegal just because there's an ignorance that has sort of come along since the days of Henry Anslinger and the days of the DuPont and the Hearsts?
I would say so. The majority is ignorance. A lot of people just don't care. When I present it to people in politics or, through the forums I've been to, a lot of people say, "Well, yeah, John, that's nice, but what else?" And then I tell them right back, "Well, we can't keep saying what else, because we've been doing that for 70 years now. We keep putting it on the back burner when this is something." I was the only legislative candidate in the entire North Florida area who was offering an entire new cash crop to the region. Nobody else did that. My opponent, he had absolutely nothing as far as a solution was concerned. This is something that could really grow our economy. And so it's to answer your question, yeah, it's a compound of ignorance and lack of general care.
Yeah, and I went on your opponent's website, the gentleman who actually won, and there was an article. It was about actually, I think there were you and another gentleman and the guy who won.
Yeah.
And he said that he really didn't care about that. It wasn't a big issue right now.
That's
for
right.
For me, that's just ignorant.
Absolutely.
Because you could be creating jobs, you could be creating money for the economy. It's not about drugs, you know.
It's not, and his words apparently were, I don't care if it's a cash crop or not, we don't need to be legalizing it. And that is the kind of thing that's just got to go. That's pure intolerance.
That just sounds like a 1950s attitude to me.
Yeah, well,
you know, it's like, we heard about these, these Germans, these Asians, whatever, we're scared of them, we don't know what it is, so we don't want to talk about it.
That's exactly what it is. And he's a real nice guy, too, my opponent, anybody who's met him would agree, but really, I mean, this is exactly the kind of politician I'm trying to uproot from our system, are these people who just are intolerant and don't care.
Well, and they start to spread their message, and their message, you know, moves into the public, and the public listen to it. There was a gentleman, I think his name was Frank, who contacted you, and he said he wouldn't vote for you because you supported hemp.
Yeah, that's right. And after several conversations through an email with Frank, where I finally got down to the bottom of what happened, basically he saw the word hemp and freaked out. And so he didn't bother to read my website, my issue section, anything. But finally, after conversing with him and telling him to just do some more research, he came around and he offered me his vote and his wife's in the end. And it just goes to show that with a little bit of patience, communication, and honesty, I really think this can happen. We just have to work together on it.
We're talking with John Shaw out of Tallahassee, Florida. He ran for the state senate in 2010. Sadly, he lost, but I have a feeling he's not done. It's maybe just round two for him. We'll be right back.
Do you sell or manufacture a product that is made from hemp? Or do you have a product that would appeal to someone who uses hemp products? Then the opportunity is right to advertise with hemp.com. Simply send us an email to advertise@hemp.com. We can create an ad that is right for you and put it right on our homepage. Or we can even mention you during the podcast. We offer a variety of options for whatever your needs, so reach a loyal niche market by sending us an email to advertise@hemp.com.
Welcome back to the podcast on hemp.com. I'm your host, Josh Davis. Today we're talking with John Shaw. He is a computer technician and the founder of John Shaw Computers Incorporated out of Tallahassee, Florida. But the reason he's on the show is because he ran for Florida State Senate as a constitutional Republican in District 6 in Tallahassee. And he ran with a platform for legalizing hemp. John, we were talking about the reasons why hemp should be legal. When you go out there and you talk to people, have you ever asked people, like, how many of you know what hemp is, just a show of hands, and when you get responses back, what do you usually get?
It's usually pretty empty, or there's one or two people will speak up because a few people have done their research, and those people who do, it's always interesting because it's almost like it's like an aha moment. They're saying, oh, there is a difference between the two, and
because they thought there was, they just weren't sure.
Right, exactly. Usually the response is pretty spectacular, especially afterwards, because people will come up to me and they say, John, I had no idea. You can tell they're just really smart people, educated, but they just, whatever was fed to them through the media or history books, whatever it was, it just didn't quite get through properly. And so, but usually the response is overwhelmingly positive about this whole, at least my platform, and that's all I can really ask for. This is the question has to be asked whether or not I was actually trying to win this campaign or spread a message. And really, the beginning is to educate people. And once enough people are educated, I think we can do something.
Well, that leads me to a bunch of other questions. One of which is what can be done to educate people? I mean, obviously, you were going out on the platform and talking to people, but what can other people do, and where is it going to come from?
I found the most success by demonstrating that there is a difference between hemp and marijuana. That's the first step. If you're going to educate people, just basically tell them that, because so many people just think the two terms are the same.
Sure.
And give some examples. Give some examples, especially note the fact that we are the only nation left, and the only industrialized nation on the planet that does not legalize the plant. And we import products from Canada, Great Britain, Russia, every other nation that grows it. We import it in at our expense, basically, when we are one of the most capable nations of growing it. It grows in every single state in America within 120 days, and it can literally just grow our economy right out of the ground. It can grow jobs. We can grow our own fuel from it. There's just a lot you can really say that really can capture people's attention. And so just by doing a little bit of research about it, even go to my website if you'd like, johnshaw.org. That whole front page lists a lot of great facts about it that are great selling points on the idea.
And so what are the barriers to entry right now? Is it people? Is it the law? Is it politicians?
That's a good question. I've had a couple people say, well, John, you know, this is a federal issue, and you're running for state senate or legislature or whatever on this platform, but it's a federal national issue. And I tell them what at least I'm trying to do is set a precedent. For one, if I were to be elected in these legislative campaigns, it would be a first. I'd be one of the first candidates ever to win solely on hemp reform, which I think would demonstrate to people on a larger scale that something needs to be done. And that's essentially what I'm trying to do. But the big barrier, I'd say, is government. You know, it's the people who are in there right now. For some reason, they don't want this to become legal.
And are they afraid? Are they afraid, or are they getting money from the DuPonts of the world?
My instinct tells me it's DuPont. It's also the drug war too, because once you legalize hemp, people, it's going to really push the bandwagon for marijuana legalization or legalization. It just keeps going and keeps going. But the big one, yeah, it's DuPont. These plastics, that whole thing. Our fuel, you know, it all comes. Our petroleum all comes from the Middle East. We have these big deals going on, mm-hmm. and this whole war, you know, this basically it's a petroleum war. And shoot, if we were to legalize hemp, we wouldn't even care anymore. We'd just start growing our own fuel. And for some reason, the people in power just don't want that to happen, and it's frustrating.
Yeah.
So,
well, we could talk about the future of that in a little bit, or what it would be like to live in a world where you can grow your hemp. But there right now, even though it hasn't happened in Florida, there are 28 states have introduced hemp legislation already. Mm-hmm. You've got Hawaii, Kentucky, Maine, Maryland, Montana, North Dakota, Oregon, Vermont, West Virginia. And nine states already have passed hemp resolutions. So these are states that have already passed it within the state. It's the federal government.
Yeah, that comes down and stomps on all their plants. Yeah, it's insane too, because it's the DEA, which is the Drug Enforcement Agency, and this is not a drug. This is a prime example of overstepping boundaries, especially on our liberties. You know, for one, we have a constitutional republic. The state should have the power. I can understand maybe across borders trading and all that, where that can get kind of touchy if other states were to have it illegal. But it's really just a matter of learning what a drug is, first of all, because the term just gets tossed about so easily.
Right.
But that is a big hurdle to come across, is that, yes, some states do have it legal, and the DEA comes in and overrides it. And so I worry about that with Florida if I were to get elected, but I think it would be different for a number of reasons, which we've kind of touched upon. But all I can do is hope.
When you were doing your research, did you have any access to numbers? Did you do any kind of forecast about, if we were actually to start to grow it, is there any proof that we could actually make money off of this?
Well, the proof is there. I didn't have any numbers specifically, but I did get asked that on a few occasions. It's tough to find numbers, especially for the United States, because it's been illegal here. And you can use other countries as an example, but the United States is special. The products that we can make and grow from it, we're always making new inventions, ideas, and whatnot. So it's tough to give an accurate number on it. But as far as we can take a biofuel, you know, hemp as a biofuel, from what I understand, it produces more energy per acre than any other biofuel that we're currently investigating.
Correct.
And if you know, let's say we're using corn as a biofuel, well, that drives the cost of food up. And corn is especially difficult to grow and costly to grow,
yeah.
Whereas hemp just grows everywhere by itself. And so the proof is really just there if you look at it.
Last year, we imported roughly $365 million into the country, most of which was hemp food product.
Yes.
Because we have yet to really – I interviewed Greg Favall, who is owns Hemp Technologies out of Asheville, North Carolina. And I don't know if you've done any research on him, but he's an architect and he's a construction worker, and he they built a house for the ex-mayor of Asheville.
Is that the hempcrete?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
exactly.
That's really amazing. Yeah.
This stuff is like it's like every time you think it can't do something, it just does something
right.
Even better.
That's right.
Because
that's
the hempcrete is it just has amazing thermal properties, and once you build your house, you know, you basically take your studs and you mix this hemp shiv, which is the inside part of the plant, with lime. You put that in between the studs, and it creates a thermal insulatory property for the house. So the house stays at a constant, very nice temperature. It also filters all the air in and out. So the guy's energy bill for the entire summer was like $100.
Oh, gosh. That's so great. That's wonderful. And really, I mean, you're right. There's really just nothing it can't do. It's the strongest, most durable fiber on the planet. If that means anything to anyone, we can take even the Gulf Coast disaster that happened in April. They were talking about some people know they were talking about using hay to plug up the hole. They tried the golf balls; that didn't work. So they wanted to use hay, and I was thinking to myself, well, why not just use hemp? It's more absorbent. It's the most absorbent fiber in the world,
yep. And so it doesn't
really
deteriorate.
That's right.
You know, it doesn't deteriorate, which is why for millennia they were using, or centuries they were using hemp rope.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So in a world where hemp is legal, can you describe that world to me?
I try not to be dream too high. It's tough. It's tough to imagine that, just because there really are a lot of things wrong in the world right now, and that would just be a state of bliss, I think, for a lot of reasons. I have a feeling it would end a lot of conflict, because a lot of our conflict is based from petroleum, and so once the hemp starts rolling through, I really think it'd be a sign of the times that we're going to start getting on these alternative fuel sources, not just hemp, you know, solar, wind, all these other sources that are available, anything but petroleum. So ideally, yeah, if you can imagine a world without petroleum, you can imagine a world with hemp, and it would be everything would be cleaner, the air would be nice, you know, it'd be really cool.
And you don't have to be a hippie to
No. Be
hemp. Like one of the issues I have is that it's always equated with marijuana.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And you've got, well, dude, I smoke weed and I've got
right.
these great hemp bracelets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a serious
absolutely
plant. You know, it's a textile,
absolutely.
It's a plastic, it's concrete, mm-hmm. and a lot of these people who live and work in these different places or different industries,
mm-hmm.
They're not marijuana smokers. They could care
right.
less about that.
Exactly.
It's about
yeah.
the product.
Yeah. I, you know, the stereotype, of course, was that most of my base of voters was that, the hippie or the stoner or whatever is like, whoa, you know, yeah, marijuana or whatever. I made it sure as I could not to associate myself with any of that. Even the marijuana leaf, that symbol, is not something that, because when you see that, you just think of that sort of stereotype. Nothing about this campaign was green in any way. You know, it's just you have to make sure if you're going to try to educate people that it's you take a professional standpoint on it, and because it really is, it's completely different.
Well, people have their, you know, they've got their arms up, they've got their shields up, they're afraid.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But once they start to hear, they're willing to listen.
Absolutely.
Which is
yeah.
nice. And so when you write your own speeches, I assume, and you gather
yeah.
information, I mean, obviously you have to gather information about not just hemp, but you know everything else that's going on in your state.
Sure.
Is it just about you know reading the newspaper or?
It's really tough. It's tough to keep up with everything people are interested in. We recently had some pretty bad septic tank laws passed, and a lot of it, yeah, you have to keep up with a good bit just because that's what people know of and that's what they want to hear about. But I really, for the most part, I could not tell you how many times people tell me, John, you need to expand your platform. You need to talk about this and that, this and that. And I tell them, I'm doing the best I can, and at the same time, I'm not going to expand when my opponent is really the one who's not expanding at all. The only I'm not trying to degrade him or anything, but there's really a double standard because he was in education his whole life, so all he talked about was education, versus what all I talked about was hemp. And so what's the difference? You know, I don't know. It's just a lot of it is difficult. It's difficult to address all these small individual issues when I know in the back of my mind if we were to do this one thing, most of these issues would be instantly alleviated. And yeah. So why bother?
Well, it's like niche politics.
Yeah, it really is.
Interesting.
You were going to ask me about why I ran as a Republican.
I was getting to that, yeah.
You can
I was going to ask you that, actually.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I was pleased that I chose to run as a Republican. I didn't get a lot of good feedback or support from the Republican Party, which I didn't assume I would, but I was hoping to maybe give them a new opportunity, a new face, a new idea, because a lot of people don't like either of the party systems.
Yeah.
So but oh well, maybe next time.
They could totally change their face around. Well, you know, the H.R. 66, which is the House of Representatives bill in the federal government, was sponsored by Ron Paul and Barney Frank.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they reached their hands across the aisle, and they saw that this was good. I think if people just learned about it, this could be something that would bring people together.
Absolutely. That's a great reason to at least learn something about it, too. Even if it takes a while to get something done on it, just learning about it, it can really put into perspective how things have changed, especially in the way of politics. We've allowed this to happen because of our ignorance. And these politicians that we just keep voting into power over and over and over again. And I think once we learn something, we'll stop our old habits. So...
Old habits die hard, John. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
But hemp grows quickly, so hey.
That's right.
John, I want to thank you for bringing on the program.
Well, this was great, Josh. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. We were talking with John Shaw. He's a computer technician and the founder of John Shaw Computers Incorporated out of Tallahassee, Florida. He ran for the state Senate in 2010 in District 6 on the, I'll call it, the hemp platform. You were listening to, what's that?
I said that sounds good.
Yeah. A platform built of hemp. You were listening to the hemp.com podcast with your host, Josh Davis. I will see you next time.